I had a medic I worked with on the ambulance asked me one time, how do you preach every Sunday? How do you bring a message every Sunday? And I told him, well, you know, it's prayer and reading the word and inspiration. Because he said, you know, do you have to really try to set out a format or something? I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I said, well, I do like series preaching when you go through a book. But I want to say to you, this all last week, I spent my week watching TBN, Daystar, a lot of popular preachers. You'd know them if I named them. Joyce Meyer, Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley. I don't mind naming them. And as I watched this, this was my inspiration for this message. I heard, I'll just be honest with you, it was rhetoric. It was a false gospel. Anytime, I don't care if you're a preacher or a pope or what you are, if you have to put an adjective in front of gospel, this is the prosperity gospel. This is the social gospel. Then it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not up here to pick a fight with anyone, but it was my motivation. As I sat and listened to these self-proclaimed so-called prophets spewing out their garbage, and you can tell I'm still not over it. The New Apostolic Reformation movement, Bethel Church, it's fallacy. And I have a hard time. And then I got to thinking, you know how they get away with this? Christians don't read their Bibles anymore. They do not read the Word of God. They do not study the Word of God. And they depend on the preachers to tell them what to think. I was in a church. I told you, a lady said, don't confuse me with the facts, preachers. Just tell me what I need to believe so I can be saved. But I heard garbage coming out of every one of these people I named mouth, and there was a lot more. I watched a documentary on 50 of them. You get a chance, you want to watch documentaries, go to Justin Peters. That's his ministry. He is a Baptist seminary graduate, cerebral palsy, so he's crippled up, but that's his focus in ministry. He exposes these people. And today I want to talk about this is the gospel. Okay, there's my introduction, and I'll get off my box. Our text this morning is out of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And, of course, I've entitled this, This is the Gospel. If I may say it this way, and I don't mean to be flippant, this is a gospel in the nutshell. When Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, they were abusing spiritual gifts, and Paul was lining them out. They were adding to it. They were adding revelations that God didn't give them and claiming that he did. And I like this short passage because Paul said, this is the gospel. And that's why I entitled that this morning. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Holy Father, I thank you for the privilege of bringing your word to your people. Your word is truth. Father, I pray that you will help me stay on track. You know how bad I am to get off track. But Holy Spirit, please keep me on track. Holy Spirit, please come in amongst us and open our ears and our eyes. And may Jesus receive all the glory in this message. Bless everyone who's here today. Bless those who could not be here. I pray that any deceptive distracting spirits, that you will muzzle them and not allow them to have their way in this service this morning. And we will be careful to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul starts out two times in this passage when he talks about the gospel he presented them. He said, in accordance with the scriptures. Now, I understand that some churches have a little different slant. I'm okay with that. But when you go adding to it, I'm not okay with that. All right. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and he was buried. There are, and I've talked to you about progressive Christianity, there are preachers saying that Jesus did not die for your sins. Some of the Christian cults say while Jesus physically died, he was not physically raised. Others say, Mary Baker Eddy, if you've ever heard of her, she was the founder of Christian Science. She said, well, Jesus just fainted on the cross, and they put him in the tomb, and he came to, you know, he didn't really raise from the dead. As I said, some said, well, he died, but it was his spirit. Jehovah's Witness teach that. It was a spiritual apparition. Now, I said in my introduction, what is sad to me is a lot of people do not read the Word of God. And a lot of people who watch television preachers, and I'm not telling you not to watch them because you're free will. You watch who you please. Pay attention to what they're saying. In fact, have the Word of God in your lap. Because like me, they'll get up and say, now our text today is going to be out of this. Open the Word. Read the Word with them. I was an avid follower of Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin when I first came to Christ. And then I began to open my Bible. I looked so forward to their Bible studies, and I'd start saying, where are you getting this? You know what I figured out? Not from the Scriptures. What'd Paul say? The gospel I preach to you was from the Scriptures, in accordance with the Scriptures. Whenever any teacher deviates from Scripture or adds to Scripture, don't pay any attention to them. Now, I'm going to give you an example, and I know some of you women might like this lady and listen to her. Like I said, I won't tell you not to. Joyce Myers. I was watching Miss Joyce the other day, and she had the audacity to say, when Jesus died on the cross, he was the first one to be born again. Say what? He is the one that makes you born again. He doesn't need to be born again. He went to the cross so you and I could be born again. Well, when you follow their teaching, they teach that Jesus died and was buried and his spirit descended into hell. He died a spiritual death, and when God raised him, he had to be spiritually reborn. Where are you getting this? Paula White. I was watching her on an interview. She said, Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. I said, what? And the interviewer goes, yes, praise God. We're all sons and daughters of God through the Holy Spirit. So he's not the only begotten Son of God. I said, really? I don't think you guys have read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. I don't think they've read the Psalms where David said, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Well, Rick, you're getting hung on words. No, I'm getting hung up on false theology. I'm getting irritated at that. And it sickens me that these people are millionaires. They exploit and manipulate the poor. Joyce Myers was asked, does it bother you that there might be some widows who can barely make a living that are given sacrificially to you, might have to do without some things? She said, no. Really? Paul said, the gospel I preached to you was in accordance with the Scriptures. I just read the first part of that. Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ rose again on the third day. Now I know the Apostles' Creed. Jesus descended into hell. Well, that's off the Greek word Hades, or Hades. And I've told you before, Hades was split into two realms, the fire and paradise. On the cross, Jesus didn't say to the thief, today you're going to be with me in hell. Just put up with it for a while, boy. You know, we're going to go in the fire for a while. Jesus didn't go nowhere near the fire. He went into paradise. Jesus didn't die spiritually. What would happen if God died? God is spirit. What would happen if he died? This universe that you and I are in, it'd be gone. Because the scriptures say, by him, by Jesus Christ, all things are held together. Now, I know Christians that don't believe that we have spirits yet. I know Christians are into modelism. Modelism simply says that God is God the Father, when he needs to be Jesus Christ the Son, and he needs to be in God the Holy Spirit. There's no three persons, because they said you're trying to put three gods together. There are three persons and one God. I believe in the Trinity. One guy got so mad at me, and he said, well, when Jesus died on the cross and said, into your hands I commit my spirit, was he talking to himself? I said, no, he was talking to the Father. You know, well, he can't be God. I said, he is God. But he died. I said, God never died, because when we die, our bodies die, our spirits go to be the Lord. Our spirits are immortal, church. That's the part of us God made that was immortal. And when I listen to these two self-proclaimed prophetesses, and that's exactly what they are, self-proclaimed, they're not anointed by God. That's not the Holy Spirit's teaching. Jesus had to be born again. Jesus isn't the only begotten Son of God. Kenneth Copeland said, when I read in the Bible that God says, I am, I say, yes, and I am too. He better be glad God's a merciful God. I just look for light and to go. And my wife was getting upset watching this. And she said, why do they do that? I said, they're not getting away with anything. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I won't be pointing at them guys, and they won't be pointing at me. But I'll guarantee you they're going to be going, because the Lord's going to say, you said what? You am? You are? I needed to be born again. I'm not the only begotten Son of God. Read your Bible, church. Now, Paul said Jesus died and was buried according to Scripture. I included a text from Isaiah 53. I know you're all familiar with this, and I want to read this for you. But he was wounded for our transgressions, sins. He was crushed for our iniquities, sins. Upon him, the chastisement that brought us peace was the chastisement that brought us peace. Help, I put these back on. There it is. And with his stripes we are healed. This isn't talking about physical healing. It's talking about spiritual healing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, there it is again, of us all. This is for those that has, you know, said he didn't die for sins. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb he is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression, there it is again of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. You ever seen anybody buried alive? I hope not. But Mary Baker Eddy said Jesus wasn't dead. Well, what's that got to do? Christian Science got to do with the Word of Faith movement and the New Apostolic Reformation? Because all they've done is borrowed their ideas and repackaged them and put a Christian wrapping on it and say, see, this is the gospel. If you say Jesus once in a while, people don't pay attention. The Jesus these people are preaching is not the Jesus of the Bible. And we'll tell you that. Please, church, please. I'm not against people listening to anybody they want to listen to, but listen with a discerning ear. Listen with the Word of God. Compare what they're saying to the Word of God. Be like the Bereans. Paul went in and preached to the Bereans, and it said they were more noble than the ones in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true. God help us, church. That's what a lot of Christians, we don't do it anymore. These people need to write their own Bibles. You know, well, we're apostles. Well, apostles have the authority to write scripture. Write your own book. Quit messing with mine. That's the way I feel. If you're an apostle, write your own Bible. Preach out of that Bible. Leave my Bible alone. Now, of course, you can say, well, shut them off. That's what I do. But I did spend last week, I thought, I'm going to sit down and listen to these people. I want to hear out of their own mouths, you know, what they're saying. Progressive Christianity teaches today Jesus didn't die for your sins. Well, did I just read? As Paul said, according to this book, the scriptures, Isaiah, he died for sins, for transgressions, for iniquity. He died. He was buried. You don't bury live people. If you do, they're not live very long. Twice in those four verses I read to you, twice the Apostle Paul said, we preached according to the scriptures. According to the word. You remember what he said to the church at Galatia? If we or an angel from heaven brings any other gospel to you than the one we preach to you, let them be accursed. That Greek word is anathema. I think anathema. It's a bad curse. It's eternally cursed. Let them be cut off. I saw Joseph Prince and Joel Osteen in an interview, and Joseph Prince says, well, you know, the Greek word repentance is metanoia, and it means to change your mind. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, it does. Now, I haven't had Greek. I have to depend on the concordances. And he said, that's what Joel and I do. We just don't use the word repentance. You know, it's too negative of a connotation. He said, we try to change people's minds from negative to positive. Ha! Okay, you want to play that game, Joe? Exactly. Negative to positive. I am positive that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, that he died on a cross. He's God in the flesh. He died on the cross. He shed his blood because of my sins and yours. God raised him on the third day. He's ascended into heaven and he's at the right hand of the Father, waiting until the Father says it's time to go back. That's positive. Joel Osteen said, well, 99.9% of people are basically good at heart. You know, we don't have to preach that hard. Really. My Bible says there is no one righteous. No, not one. And God said that. Rick didn't say it. God said, I looked the whole earth over. Didn't see one righteous person. Gee, Joel, maybe you ought to try preaching out of the book once in a while. Now, I know there's people who don't like me naming names. Hey, if they're silly enough to say it, I'm just mean enough to call them by name. Church, it is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to take a stand on the truth and call it for what it is. These liars need to be exposed. Understand something. There's people you probably know that believe they've come to know Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't know him if he walked down the street in a red suit. Not the way these guys are preaching. The Jesus they're preaching isn't the Jesus of the Bible. The God they're teaching is not the God of the Bible. Am I upset? Yes. It infuriates me. I'm sitting there praying before I get up here. God, keep me calm. Because I can feel my heart going. And it's not coffee. Man, this gets me stirred up. I just want to reach to the TV and get them by the goozler and choke them off. You know, if you don't have anything wise to say, then stop breathing for a few minutes. Maybe your mind will clear up and I don't know. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was the first person to be born again. Everybody's 99.9% good. Repentance means just stop thinking negative and start thinking positive. Really? Uh-uh. Repentance, in the full extent of the word I understand, it means you change your mind, then you change your conduct. Yep. You call sin, sin. Remember what John said at his baptism? Don't say to yourself, well, we have Abraham for our father. He said, God can raise up children out of these rocks. They said, what do we do? John said, don't extort money. Every group that asked him what he did, he pointed some things out that they practiced, said, stop doing that. I like what Paul said, let the thief steal no more, but let him work with his hands that he might be able to give. So the taker become a giver. That's repentance. Exactly. Boy, I mean, they could quote the Bible, they could speak the Bible, but they didn't live it. Then I looked up the net worth of a lot of these people. It's unreal. My gosh. I remember in Bible college, my third year, I had to go before a board of professors every year. And, you know, are you sure you want to be in the ministry? How are you doing? And they said, what have you figured out? I said, man, I could get rich preaching. And they all leaned forward and said, what do you mean by that? I said, it'd be easy. I'd have to buy a jet plane to get around. I'd be booked for years. They said, well, share that with us, brother. I said, if I preached on the sins of the world and never talked about what's going on in the church, I could be a millionaire. Or if I never warned the church, I'd be a millionaire. People would rush to my meetings. You'd be seeing me on TBN and Daystar and them channels. You know, with a big 30-voice choir and $3,000 shoot, $500 shoes and a $10 haircut. Stand there telling me, well, the Lord says to me, give me a break. Give me a break. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. You know when I'll stop being a sinner? When I walk into that gates with that glorified body, sin will have no more dominion over me at all. It won't even be there. There might be people walking around, where's that old devil? He won't be there. Yeah. Paul said we're waiting for the redemption of our body. It hadn't happened yet. That's when our salvation, salvific promises will be fully consummated. Now my spirit's been redeemed, but then my body will be redeemed. And we'll have a glorified body and a redeemed spirit. And praise God, we're going to have a blast. We're going to worship God. Paul said by the scriptures, Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days. The Old Testament patriarchs believed in the resurrection of the dead. I'm talking physical, not spiritual. As I said, Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus' body was not raised, it was his spirit, and that's why his disciples didn't recognize him. The Bible says their eyes were holden, so they could not recognize him. When Mary saw him at the tomb, she wasn't expecting to see Jesus. She was looking for a corpse, and he was standing right there talking to her. That's never happened to me, and I hope it never does, because it would freak me out. You see what I'm saying? People, well, how come she didn't recognize Jesus? She wasn't looking for somebody standing upright. She went in there looking for a guy wrapped in bandages laying on a tomb. Praise God he wasn't there. He was standing there behind her. He goes, Mary, Rabboni. The King James says, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. That sounds religious. You know what the literal Greek says? Don't cling to me, Mary. I could see Jesus was trying to get her arms out. Leave me, Mary, don't hang on to me. I got to ascend back to the Father. I just said, take me with you. Could I go? Yeah. Could we go back up on that mountain where you transformed? And I can see your glory, what comes out. Praise God. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's physical. Okay. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. And yet we got people today saying there is no resurrection. Of course, they had it in Corinth, too. Paul said, let me tell you something. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we've lied to you, and you're still in your sins. Well, how does God raise the dead? I'm not God. I don't know. I cannot explain it to you, but I know if he made a man out of dirt and breathed into him and he became a living being, he's not going to have any problem raising bones. The physical resurrection of the dead is a scriptural fact. This is what the scriptures teach. Well, I don't believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Well, then you can't be saved. I don't think Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Then you can't be saved. I don't believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I think he was just a good moral teacher, and I should follow his example. Then you can't be saved. That's as plain as it goes. Job believed in the resurrection, and I've been told that that's one of the oldest books in the Old Testament, the book of Job. David prophesied the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Psalms. He said, therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Sheol is the Hebrew word the ESV uses for what we call hell, the realm of the dead. Jesus said, you're not going to leave me there. Paul declared that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and I'm talking physical. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad he was raised from the dead? You know what that means for you and me? That we're going to be raised from the dead? Revelation 21 is my favorite text when I do funerals at the grave. I've done it for unbelievers and believers both. You can't keep us down. Death won't keep us down. Death has lost its sting. The grave has lost its victory because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, did I mean to get up here and attack these people? Yes and no. I told myself I wouldn't, but I like to run my mouth. And I know what some of you are thinking. You watch these people. Well, I like some of what they say. Well, I like some of what they say too. But Satan is an expert at deception. He's not an idiot. He's not come up and just throw lies at you. He's going to mix truth with lies. That's why I say pay attention. Listen to what these people are telling you. And when you hear something come out of their mouth that does not line up with the Scriptures, it should not be a hard choice, church. Use this gray matter. Well, that's not God. I listen to prophets. Apostles, there's only 12. Read Revelation. John saw the city, New Jerusalem, and it had 12 foundations. On every foundation was the name of an apostle. There's 12 apostles, church. It's done. There's not any more apostles. And these prophets that I listen to, and I listened to over 50 of them this week, I kept count, they're not prophets. They fall under the heading that God said they speak presumptuously by their own spirit. Do not fear them. I didn't send them. You know what's scary about them? A lot of people listen to them. And I never heard one of them say anything considered gloom and doom. And in fact, one said, I'm not a gloom and doom prophet. Funny, all the Old Testament prophets were. Read the prophecies of the Old Testament. They preached gloom and doom. Did they preach hope, mercy? Yes, they did. If you repent. Isaiah didn't say, if you guys would just start thinking positively, this judgment will turn around. Jeremiah never said that. You know what impressed me about Jeremiah? After he had prophesied to Israel, you know what he did? He went and wept before the Lord. He told him in one place, when I'm done talking to you, I'm going to go weep. I want to do a series here in the next few weeks on three kings of Israel. And I want to do a series on crucifixion, what it means to be crucified. And I'm not angry at anyone here. I'm not even really angry at these people. I am, in a sense, you know, I don't like the rhetoric that they teach, but they're not getting away with anything. No. They'll answer for every penny that's been sent to that ministry. They'll answer for every false word that's come out of their mouth. But you know what's sad? These people are deceived, but what's sad is the thousands of people that are going to be deceived and follow them. That's terrible. I told my wife what would be worse to me if I missed the mark and I stand before my Lord and he says, what were you doing? Depart from me, you cursed one, into eternal fire. What would be worse to me than hearing those words for me is to see a group of people behind me that went, what? We were following him. We were doing what he said. Too bad. God gave you a brain for more than holding your ears apart, church. Okay? Use it. I've preached a message about the Holy Spirit. God has made the Holy Spirit available to his people. Well, how do I know if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? The love of Christ will fill your heart. That's all I'm going to say. Would you stand with me this morning? I apologize if I have ruffled any feathers, but I told the Lord when he called me to preach, I want to preach the truth. Whether I'm talking to 5 or 500, and if I'm to be reproached, then so be it. They reproached Jesus. I had a woman tell me one time, what you said sounded demonic. I said, well, they accused him of being demon-possessed too, so I guess I'm in good company. Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, we cannot afford to sit on our hands and ignore the stuff that's going on. When you run into people, listen to them. People are talking about, you know, I'm a Christian. Listen to what they're saying. If you want to watch the TV preachers, that's fine. You want to buy their DVDs and videos, that's fine. It's your money. Pay attention to what they're saying. Check it with the Word of God. Spend more time in the light of the Word than the light of the television. That's an advice I can give to you. In the light of God's Word. Listen with the discerning ear through the Spirit of Christ. These people, what they say sounds good, is attractive to people. A lot of it appeals to their greedy natures. Well, you send me these, said gift, and God's going to bless you 100 times. I don't know how many times I heard that this week. You sow your seed and God will bless you up to 100-fold. I heard Rod Parsley say, I want an Isaiah 49:17 gift from you. Isaiah 49:17 says, for no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And boy, he got all excited and sent me $49.17. I said, why don't you preach Isaiah 51? Come all you who are thirsty, buy wine and milk without money. They're not going to do that. Listen, church. Compare what they're saying to the Word of God. Any preacher. If I step out of line with the Word of God, you have every right to come to me and say, wait a minute, that's not what the Word says. Where are you getting that? I give you permission. You know, if I need to be corrected, correct me, show me what the Word says and show me where I'm wrong, and I will back off and say, well, I'm sorry. Would whoever had the closing prayer please offer it this morning?